how quickly they grow up.
Yes.
Yeah? I sometimes look back at the old photos and I see the kids that were standing here now, little tiny, I mean, really small. I have a picture of Jovan in the nursery. I was holding him, and it was his first Christmas ornament. So that was a long time ago. But we're so thankful for those of you who are working faithfully with our kids, with our youth, and investing your lives in them. Amen. 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 Are you ready to turn to the Word of God? I have to keep it short this morning. I told you I would. Okay. Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and let us give you a good heart to respond to what you're speaking to us, and that as you plant your seeds in our hearts, that good fruit would spring forth and bring greater life and new life in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, last week, and now if you see me looking up there, you want to take a look just a minute? I want to thank the tech team. They've got a monitor back there. We're just getting all high-tech at Lighthouse, aren't we? No, we're not. We're not really, but we're really thankful for that. And thank you for the tech team. They've been taking a lot of extra time this week. Yeah, we really appreciate it. They come after work. They stay here till 10:30, 11 yesterday. I think Nomer was here on Saturdays most of the day. So we're grateful for what you're doing. We're trying to work on our tech and get it up to speed in a way that is helpful to everybody who's watching online, and also to those of us who are meeting here in person. So last week we talked about this first miracle that's recorded, and it's Peter and John as they go up to the temple one day to pray, and they meet a lame man who's asking for money. So we talked about the beginning, middle, and end of that story, and what we saw was the Holy Spirit working in the beginning, in opening their eyes to see someone who had a need, but more than who had a need, who had a heart that was ready to receive something, not just money in the pocket, but something from God. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. There are people all around us. Everybody has needs. But not everyone sees their need. And not everyone is ready to receive help from God for their lives to be changed. A lot of people want to be helped. A lot of people want their lives to be better. But it is God who makes a difference. And there are those around you, and the Holy Spirit will help us. We talked about this last week. When the time is right, when you're ready, through the working of the Holy Spirit, you will meet people, you will see people that God wants to touch through you. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. So this is what we looked at last week. That was the first part. The middle part was when they were arrested for doing this good deed, and they're brought before the rulers who hate them and who crucified Jesus, and Peter and John are standing there, not very educated, not very whatever, and suddenly the Holy Spirit fills them. And they speak forth very, very, very boldly. The Holy Spirit helps us in crunch time and in crisis time. Very, very clear about that. And then we looked at the last part, when they go back to their people. So let's start there today, and then we're going to go on. But we're going to go through this quickly, right? So just a reminder, Acts 23 through 26. As soon as they're released, they've been warned, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't talk about Jesus. Keep your mouth shut. And then they go back to their people and they tell them, this is what was said. What is their immediate response? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. What a great place to start when you are in trouble and things, circumstances surround you, and you don't know what to do, and you don't have a way out. You pray, but look at how their prayer starts. Sovereign Lord. This word, sovereign Lord, is a special expression. It's almost never used in the New Testament, but it's the word that we sometimes use for despot or absolute ruler. No one is higher than this ruler. And it's pretty wonderful that when they pray in this tough situation, that they look to the Lord and they say, absolute ruler. Why? Because there are people that have told them, you can't talk about Jesus. You've got to keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything else. Don't do anything more. And what do? They speak to the sovereign Lord, to the absolute ruler over everything. And what do they say? Oh, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. Now, we looked briefly, but I want to just remind you again as we look at this really quickly. They pray, and then they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable means equip us, empower us, make us able, make your servants able to speak your message with complete boldness. I want to just pause on that just a minute and encourage you. If you're praying about something that is difficult, sometimes when you and I pray about things, we are so focused on us, right? We're so focused on what we want. God, do this for me. God, make this happen. God, work this out. Let's learn a lesson from these early Christians. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Do you know what they pray? Let me phrase it in my words. What they pray is, God, do what you want to do. God, work out your plan. God, work out your will. Lord, you do it. You do it. Instead of focusing on God, me, they mess some of them. You know we do that, don't we? You know we do that. You know we do. I do it sometimes. So I know you do it too, because we're pretty much the same. Instead, they said, God, you work out your plan. Brothers and sisters, when we get in tough circumstances, now we're laughing, but this is really serious. If you will commit to this, God, you see what's going on. Lord, you work it out. You work it out. Enable us to speak your message with boldness while you stretch out your hand for healings, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You cannot move a mountain. You cannot heal anybody. You cannot deliver someone who is oppressed. You cannot bring a wayward child, a rebellious spouse, back to you and back to God. You cannot do that. But here's the good news that should release any burden from you. You don't have to. God doesn't tell you to. It's not your responsibility to. All you have to do is pray. All you have to do is do what God has told you to do. He takes care of the miracle. He moves the mountain. He restores the broken relationship. He heals the person that is sick. He delivers the person who is oppressed by the devil or bound by horrible habits. He's the one that does that. And if you and I will look and will say, okay, God, help me to do what I'm supposed to do, and then let go of these other things that you are wearing yourself out trying to do. Some of you this morning, you have tried so hard to change impossible situations. You have tried so hard to soften hard hearts. You can't do that. God does that. God does that. So you look to him and say, God, help me to do what you want me to do. And then God, you take care of the miracle. God, you do the impossible. God, I cannot, but you can. Now let me say something else about that. This prayer is not just for people outside of you, for loved ones outside, for situations outside. This prayer is for you too. Because sometimes you and I have impossible things in our own lives, do we not? In our own character, in our own bondage. You cannot set yourself free. That's why his name is Jesus. He's the Savior, and he has come to set you free. If you're trying to make a difference, you want your life to be different, Jesus can make your life different. This is what he has come to do. Oh, sovereign Lord, it's hard to get a better prayer than this, isn't it? It really is. It's a wonderful prayer. And so they pray, and what does God say? This is their prayer. They pray, and we know that the Holy Spirit is helping them in this prayer. I told you this last week, and I just want to remind you again. If your prayers are falling flat, if you feel like I'm praying, but I'm not getting anywhere, you need the empowering and the help of the Holy Spirit in your prayers. This is his specialty. This is his portfolio. This is what he does. If you read the book of Acts, as we have been, you will see the early church was a praying church. But not only was it a praying church, it was a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered praying church. That's how we want to pray. Because if we pray in our own effort, we run out of steam very quickly, don't we? When we're how long can you pray when you're praying in your own effort? About 3 minutes and you're done, aren't you? Pretty much. But when the Holy Spirit empowers you and puts his fuel in your prayers, that's when you touch heaven. Amen? And when we touch heaven, God hears and God answers. And things move. Sometimes we feel like, well, I've prayed. Have you touched heaven? The Holy Spirit helps us do this. So they pray, and God says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, here comes the empowering. So here's a reminder again this morning. If you say, yes, I am a spirit-filled Christian, are you full of the Holy Spirit? Are you being filled again and again and again? Or are you looking at some experience way back when your heart was moved and touched by the Lord, and oh, that was so wonderful then. They were filled again. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. Now, wouldn't you like to be in a prayer meeting where the room shakes? I don't know about that. Earthquake! You know, who knows? Maybe not. That was just an outward sign. Don't look for that sign. Don't pray, oh God, shake this room. What's the point of that prayer, right? I can do this and I can shake, right? The point is, God was saying, I hear you. Now here's what you want. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. That's what we want. We want God to do what he will do to answer prayer. Amen? Now, move forward just a little bit. We didn't look at this last time. They keep on doing what God has called them to do, and a few verses later, we read, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Isn't that wonderful? They keep testifying with great power. Remember what Jesus said? Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait here. In a few days, we will send the promise. It's the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses here we see the working out. And great grace, much grace, was upon them all. So we have this as the backdrop. Now, let's move forward as we get into this part really quickly this morning. This part's really simple. I want to talk about what will you do? What will you do? And we're going to revisit some of the events that we've been looking at. And we're going to see a theme very quickly. Let's go back to Philip. So Philip, this is after the persecution. He goes up. He travels as far as Samaria. Let's look at this again. Philip went down to a city in Samaria. By the way, he went down. Why did he go down? Because Samaria was up north. Jerusalem was high in altitude. To go to Samaria was to go low in altitude. So that's why it says he went down, even though it was north. He went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Look with me. What does he proclaim? He proclaims the Christ. When that name is used, what does that mean? What does that mean? Here's a name for every one of us this morning, especially in need. Christ means the anointed one. By whom was Christ anointed? The Holy Spirit, when he was baptized. The anointed one, the one sent from God. And so he proclaimed the Christ. Jesus Christ had not been proclaimed there, but Jesus had visited there some years earlier, right? The woman at the well. So they'd already had, some of them had an encounter. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So we see this beautiful picture of the Christ, of Jesus coming through the disciple Philip into this city where people need help. We look at this, and I want to say this morning, and I don't want to freak anybody out, but we read the New Testament, we read these encounters, and it seems like there sure were a lot of demons back then, right? Do you ever think that? Sure were a lot of demons. Let me ask you something. Not to freak anybody out. Do you think there are any fewer demons today? Do you think there is any less oppression of the enemy and bondage of the enemy on people's lives, upon their bodies, upon their families today than there was then? It's still the same. It's still the same. Not to freak anybody out. But you looked, honestly, I look at those, especially you say, oh, well, they're not acting weird or this or that or whatever. You show me someone who is in bondage to maybe pornography, but I don't want to just point out just obvious things. Anger, drugs, gambling, some of these things that ruin a person's life, right? They ruin a person's life. And don't you think that the enemy is behind that? Of course the enemy is behind that. Or often, not always, but at times, someone who has a chronic sickness or chronic things going on. And I want to be really careful. Please don't feel condemned this morning. Oh, that's me. There's a demon oppressing me. I'm not saying that. But the Bible's very clear. The Bible's very clear about that. What I want to say is this. The good news is the Jesus, the Christ that was proclaimed in this city of Samaria, and people were set free, and people were delivered, and there was great joy in that city. Oh, brothers and sisters, he is the same Christ today. He is the same Jesus today. He delivers people today. He changes people today. He sets people today. You look at those, how many, even, and so many young people that struggle with depression, right? And that struggle with these things. In Lighthouse, I'm not pointing a finger at one or two or people. If I were to share some of the things with you, you would say, what? The enemy is attacking our youth as well. He's attacking, if he can get this generation, if he can get them young, then he's got a life that's in bondage. And the good news is, we don't have to stay there. We don't have to be in that bondage. The Jesus that delivered people, the power of Jesus that delivered people then, is the same power today. And there was great joy in that city. Great, great joy. Now look at what happens next. When they believed Philip, so not only were there miracles, praise the Lord for miracles, but I have met people before whom God has helped, whom God has delivered, and they kept on going with their own lives without God. God not only wants to deliver, God not only wants to help, God wants to save. God wants to save. And they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Now, those of you who have been at Lighthouse for a while, do you remember years ago when Rosalind and Kat, two sisters, two Chinese sisters, were here in Lighthouse? Rosalind is in a care home. She's had strokes. She's and I think maybe some dementia as well. She's unable to come. But how many of you remember when her sister Kat, who is now in heaven, you remember? Yeah. Do you remember when she was baptized? I think she was baptized maybe at Stanley Beach. Do any of you remember? Is my memory better than yours? My memory's better than yours. I'm going to remind you. Everybody was giving testimonies. So here's Kat. Kat did not even speak a lot of English, right? But she always came to Lighthouse. And she had such a big heart. She would find things that had been discarded, right? And she would bring them and she would share them with people at church because that's what she loved to do. When she was water baptized, people were giving their testimonies, and Kat gave her testimony. Do you know what her testimony was? Very simple. It was a sentence or a sentence and a half. She said, "Jesus healed me, and I believe him." Do you remember that? I remember that. She'd had a terrible leg problem that made it difficult for her to walk. And in the church, we prayed for her. Jesus healed her leg, and she believed Jesus. She said, "Jesus healed my leg, and I believe him." And she was baptized. They were baptized, both men and women. That's a wonderful testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. Now, let's look a little bit further, and we're going to pick this up next week. We're not going to stop yet. But there's more to this story that we haven't looked at. Look at what happens next. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had welcomed God's message, they sent Peter and John to them. So Philip's up in Samaria. Big revival happening, right? Big revival. A bunch of people getting saved. All sorts of miracles. If they'd had television back then, this would be on television. The news reporters would have gone there. They would have been there. This is something wonderful that's happening. And then they send Peter and John. Why do they send Peter and John? Because they need teaching, right? We got to make sure that their doctrine is correct. We got to make sure that everything is okay. We got to make sure, is this really God or is this not God? Why did Peter and John go to Samaria? You ready for it? Here you go. When they arrived there, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had taken the right steps. They had done what they should do. They had been delivered and they had been set free. They were baptized. They were obedient to what Philip had said. They were following. They were showing we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was more. Before teaching, before discipling, before setting up classes, before all of these things, Peter and John are sent from Jerusalem with the first important thing after they had begun to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that priority? Now, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Don't get upset with me. So you're stepping on my toes. Well, well, that's your opinion, not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. What do we see? What do we see? They prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Why did they go? Why did they pray? Because the disciples knew what God has done for us, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What was needed for them was needed for these new disciples in Samaria. What was needed for the new disciples in Samaria is needed for the disciples of Lighthouse, brothers and sisters. What will you do? What will you do? I praise God that you're following the Lord. I praise God that you are faithful. But there is more, brothers and sisters. There is more. What will you do? What will you do? Peter and John went, prayed for them, that they, because they had not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't get mad at me. You want to get mad at anybody? Get mad at God. This is what God said. Don't get mad at God. You will lose that fight. And then what happens? And then what happens? Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers. And what happened? And they received the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. This is the next step. Brothers and sisters, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Not just where are you in your understanding of the Lord. I think no one could accuse us in Lighthouse of not knowing the word. I believe we try to teach and preach the word here, right? And I believe we do. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. But does our experience match up to what we know? Does our desire match up to what we see? This is what we see with the Samaritans. Let's go forward a little bit later. Paul, Saul, on the road to Damascus. God appears to him, strikes him down. He's blind. He was going to persecute Christians. And then this is the middle of the story. And Ananias is in another part of the city. And God says to Ananias, who, by the way, is no special person. He's not a disciple, is he? I mean, he is a disciple. He's not one of the apostles. He's not one of the 12. And God says, Ananias, go pray for Saul. Oh, no, Lord. He's a bad guy. And God says, go, for he's praying. What is the priority? Ananias went, and he found Saul. He laid hands on him, and he said, what did he say? Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's Saul. Now, Saul has been fasting and praying. No food, not even any water for 3 days, okay? That's what it says. No food, no water. You don't do that fast unless God tells you very specifically, food and water fast. You don't choose that one by yourself. If God puts it on your heart, you do it. He sent me. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Uh-oh, something's missing. It doesn't say that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you something. Was he filled with the Holy Spirit? Go ahead and nod your head. Of course he was. Of course he was. The Bible doesn't always tell us everything. He was baptized. Here he was water baptized, right? He was obedient. He was now following Jesus. This was the right step. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. I want to show you something, brothers and sisters. As we follow the Lord in obedience in every way, learn something from this short verse right here. Saul had not eaten anything for 3 days. Some of you, if you missed a meal, you'd think I'm going to die, right? Right? I remember one time, it was during Lighthouse. I'm making fun of you, but you know how we feel, right? It was during the week of fasting and prayer with Lighthouse. I'm not boasting. When we have fasting and prayer, I'm your pastor. I better be fasting and praying, and I hope you are as well. It was years ago. And so it was during week of fasting and prayer. And I'd gone to pray for somebody. I think May was with me. It was in Hong Lok Yun. And so they offered, when I went to the home, they offered me some food. And I said, no, thank you. And then they offered it again. And their background was sort of Christian, maybe. So I finally had to say, I'm fasting, because they kept on, have some food, have some food, have some food. And I thought, so finally I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm fasting. I was drinking water. And she looked at me and she said, oh, how about some fruit? and I said, no, it's okay, I'm fasting. No fruit? No. And by the way, you do the fast that God puts on your heart, okay? But here's Paul, Saul. He has not eaten anything for 3 days. Johnny would be lying on the MTR tracks if he couldn't eat for 3 days. I know it. I know when Melrose and B and Ying would try to feed the youth. By the way, parents, you make sure to give extra offerings. Our youth can eat. They can eat. Johnny, I don't know how you do if you eat 3 days without food. It'd be tough, wouldn't it? You do what God tells you to do. Johnny can't even speak now. The horror of it. It's too hard to imagine. But here's Saul. So we're making somewhat light, but here's the serious part about it. I want your hearts with me on this. This really is. So he hasn't eaten in 3 days, and not only that, he has not even drunk water in 3 days. And generally, 3 days is the limit. Doctors will tell you if you're doing something like that, should not be beyond 3 days, and it's very extreme. But here's Saul. God has so grabbed his heart, and I think we can understand it, can't we? Has the Lord ever dealt with you in a very strong way or a very severe way? And everything changes, right? The things that are around you, they're not very important. Here's Saul, who realizes now, I was a murderer. I crucified and persecuted Jesus, the one sent from God. And he nevertheless loves me and counts me worthy to work for him, to do what he's called me to do. Oh, brothers and sisters, that our hearts might be gripped by the Lord similarly. You and I were a mess before God. We were a mess before God. And some of us are still putting the pieces back together again, aren't we? Nevertheless, God loves you so much, and he has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you, and he wants to work through you. Oh, that would grip our hearts. And so here's Saul. God restores his sight. He is baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then before eating and drinking, you know what me? You know what I think I'd want to do? God, I have something to drink now. Let me eat something first. Let me have a sandwich, and then I'll be water baptized. Or some, I don't know, some flatbread or something or whatever, some hummus, I don't know. His heart is so turned towards God that nothing is more important than taking care of business with God. Nothing's more important. If you and I would come to that position also, I mean that, God, nothing is more important than taking care of business with you. We would see God move in mighty ways in our lives. We would see God move in mighty ways in our families. We would see God move in mighty ways in answer to the desperate prayers that we sometimes pray and sometimes don't. Paul let nothing hinder or slow down his obedience to God. And the answer to Paul's heart we see in his life throughout the book of Acts. in his writings throughout the New Testament. What will you do? What will you do? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and next week we're going to talk further. Let me encourage you with this, and then we're going to stop. What will you do? Peter goes to Cornelius's house. He's preaching. Just in case you think the Holy Spirit will only move and work when somebody special prays for you and lays hands on you, be encouraged by this passage. We've looked at it before. What does it say? Peter's preaching. Peter's preaching. And as he preaches, God basically says, I've got this. Let me take care of this. Nobody lays hands on them. They have no teaching about the Holy Spirit. They're Gentiles. They probably don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. But their hearts are open to God, right? And what happens? Their hearts are so open to God that while Peter is preaching, they've already said yes to Jesus and gotten saved. No altar call. No this, no that. It's just, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And then what happens next? God, to an open heart, pours out his Holy Spirit. That shows you, brothers and sisters, don't get angry at me. Don't get angry at God. That shows you God's priority. That shows you God's priority. That shows you God's priority. Their hearts have opened to Jesus. And the very next thing God the Father and Jesus the Son do is pour the Holy Spirit upon them while they are saying yes to God. If you will say yes to God anytime, anywhere, any place, in any circumstance, God can move. This reminds me, let's see, yeah, this reminds me of Singapore. You all know that I grew up in Singapore. Mom and Dad said, while God was moving in really wonderful ways, we're going to close with this, while God was moving in wonderful ways, there were a lot of new people coming to the church. And you knew that, you know, I've told you before that the church was an area surrounded by idol temples, the temple of the monkey god, all of these, and all around there were gangs, there were triads. It was really a tough area. There was all sorts of idolatry at that time in Singapore, so much idol worship. And all these people started coming to church. And they would come, and then they would come on Sunday night. They would just gather around the altar, and they would pray. And Mom and Dad said, they said, some of them, we didn't even know that they were already Christians because they had just started coming to church. The only way we knew that they were Christians was when they came forward and they started praying. As we were praying for them, they would be speaking in other tongues. They would be speaking in other languages. They had been baptized in the Holy Spirit just while they were saying yes to God. Just while they were saying yes to God. This is the heart of God. This is the priority of God. So I want to, I'm challenging you. We're going to continue this next week. What will you do? We're looking at Scripture. We're looking, this is what we see, right? Where are you? Where are you? What will you do? Yes, Pastor, I agree. Great. But what will you do? How will you respond? Will you move forward, or will you just say, yeah, I agree with this. This is good. Yeah, I like your preaching, and I don't disagree with it. This is good. Yes, I agree with the doctrine. What will you do? What will you do? As we look at the Scripture, we see that this is God's plan. We see that this is God's pattern. We see that this is God's priority. What will you do? We've been talking and preaching about the Holy Spirit for a long time now. But what will we do? Time's come to make a decision. What will you do? Let's close in prayer. We're going to pick this up next week. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes I don't always do this. If this morning you want to say, I want to do, I want to experience this work of God in my life, I am willing. I want to move forward. I don't want to just sit and say, yes, this is good. I want to move on in God. I want God to do in me what he did on the day of Pentecost. I want God to do in me what he did in Cornelius's house. I want God to do in me what he did for Saul. I invite you just to raise your hand this morning, and I'm going to be praying for you. Just raise your hand. Okay? 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 So God sees your hand. I see your hand, but God sees your hand. And he's serious about it because you're serious about it. This is not something you're doing lightly. If your hand is raised, God sees. I'm going to pray for you now, but this is what I want you to do this week. You take time this week, every day, and get some time with God, and you ask God about this, and you ask God for this, and you ask God to do this. Come to him with an open heart. He always answers an open heart. Lord, you have seen every person this morning who has raised a hand humbly, openly and honestly and saying, yes, God, I agree with it, but Lord, I want more than agreement. Lord, I understand the teaching, but Lord, I want more than understanding. I wish and I want and I long to experience, oh God, experience what you have promised your people who follow you, what you have done for your people throughout the age. God, help me to wait upon you. Help me to look to you. Help me to give you time this week. I give you my heart. I give you my heart. And Lord, I take a stand right now. Lord, by raising my hand, I am saying yes. I am saying I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh God, do in us what we cannot do in ourselves. Do in us what we have been hearing about, but we have not yet experienced. Oh God, we say yes. We say yes to you this morning. Lord, and now Lord, as I have prayed, God, help me to proclaim your word with boldness. And now, Lord, I ask you, I'm going to pray the prayer that is prayed in Acts 3. And now, O Lord, would you stretch forth your hand in signs and wonders and miraculous works upon your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So we took a step of faith this morning, and then you're going to keep on walking. I'm going to be praying for you this week. You give God some time, okay? You get in touch with me if you need to. Let God do something wonderful in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.